Lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, recorded on 19 January 1996 in Vallabh Vidyanagar in Gujarat, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So the topic of tonight's lecture is Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. So the subject matter is Karma Yoga. Actually, the main subject is not Karma Yoga.
The main subject is, what is the purpose of life? We should think, what is the purpose of life? What are we doing here in this world? Here I am, a living being in this body. I didn't ask to get such a body, but somehow I have. I didn't ask that my body should be just so tall, so thin or fat, that I should be born in such and such a place, but somehow or other I'm here. And I'm in a situation, most of your students, you're in a situation where you're expected to study, pass your examination, get a job. So, somehow or other, we're in this situation. And those who are more intelligent think, well, why? What is life all about, anyway? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Here we have Bhagavad Gita as it is, which discusses all these topics threadbare. So, this is of course a very great subject. What is the purpose of life? But at least we should begin to think. Then when we begin to think, we should find out from the proper source. Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva vigacchet. One should approach a qualified spiritual master to find out the answer to these questions. Bona fide guru. Of course, guru means he must be bona fide. But nowadays, actually there's no reason to say bona fide guru, because guru means he must be bona fide. But nowadays there are so many cheaters that we have to add the words bona fide to distinguish between those who are posing as gurus and those who are actually gurus. So guru means who knows what is the actual fact and can teach you. So, what does he teach? Real guru teaches, jaha hoite krishna bhakti she guru hoi. That is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who is giving Krishna consciousness is guru. Then, also that's stated in the Shastra, that is quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Shat karma nipano vipra mantra tanta visharadaha avaishnava guru natsyad vaishnava svapacho guru. One may be very expert in ritualistic activities. Previously, brahmanas, they were expert in ritualistic activities. Nowadays, there's nothing to distinguish a brahmana from anybody else except by his name. Is it? He has the name, some name like Upadhyay, Shastri. His name is Shastri. He doesn't know anything from Shastri. Only the name is there. So there's nothing to distinguish. Only in marriage you'll see classified advertisements. Brahmin boy wanted for beautiful young divorcee. Something like this. Not beautiful enough to get not divorced. Beautiful but divorced. Anyway, Brahmin boy wanted. High class, well behaved for divorcing. So, previously the Brahmins, they're very expert in knowledge of scripture, rituals. But even if one is expert in all these things, if he's not a Vaishnava, then he should not be a guru. Because guru means one who teaches the truth. And the truth, the ultimate truth, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasyataha Satyam Param Dhimahi. The ultimate truth is to know Krishna. So if you don't know the truth, then you have no business teaching. Different people have different concepts of the truth. But the truth that is given in Shastra, that is expounded upon by all the Acharyas, the truth is Krishna. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has succinctly said the same thing in simple Bengali verse. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kini noi jay Krishna tatta veta shri guru hoi. It doesn't matter what one's caste or what one's position in human society is. If he knows the science of Krishna, he should be a guru. So a guru should teach us to understand Krishna. And how to understand Krishna? That is by the process of bhakti. I'm just coming to the point of Karma Yoga, but summarizing volumes of spiritual knowledge in a few words, just to come to this point. So, how to understand Krishna? Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Krishna can be understood by devotion. What is that devotion? Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atmanivedanam, iti pumsa pita Vishnu, bhaktischendavalakshana, kriyeta bhagavatyata, tannanye dhitabhutamam. Prahlad Maharaj, when asked by his father Hiranyakashipu, what is the best thing you have learned? This is very interesting for students who are engaged in study. What is the best thing to study? Before going to college, they may consider, should I study engineering or chemistry? Or should I study literature? Or should I study art? What should I study? What is the best thing to study? Prahlad Maharaj, who is a Mahaja, great personality, his opinion, authorized opinion, is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about Vishnu. Smaranam, remembering him. Padasevanam, worshipping his lotus feet. Archanam, worshipping him in the temple. Dandanam, praying to him. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, identifying oneself as his servant. Sakyam, identifying oneself as his friend. And Atmanivedanam, these processes of devotion, these are the best subject matters of learning. So then we come to the question, how do we practically do this in our life? Then we come to Karma Yoga. How do we do it practically? So we could say, well, it's very easy. Come here and join us. You can live with us. Shave your head, dress like this, and morning till evening, engage in the activities of bhakti. This is the best suggestion, actually. Unfortunately, very few people are willing to take it up, for one reason or another. For some people it may not even be the best thing to do, because unless one is fully ready to live the life of devotion, then he should not make a show, live in the mutt, live in the ashram, simply wearing saffron cloth and spending all day reading the newspaper. I've seen in Thailand, Siam, that formerly the name was Siam, Sham, Shamadesh. It was like Burma, Brahmadesh. Now they changed all the names so that people won't recognize the relationship with Krishna. This is Kali Yuga. Anyway, in Siam, Shamadesh, Thailand, there is a custom that every man should become a monk, maybe for 2 days or 2 weeks. He should become a monk. So if you visit the monastery, you will see they have the monk's cell, where he's living. So they have pictures of naked women in the monk's cell. So what kind of a monk is this? He's supposed to be a holy man, and he's keeping pictures of naked women and Michael Jackson and some big man with a lot of muscles whose aim in life is to be look like a buffalo. These weightlifters. Next life they'll become a buffalo. They're trying so hard now to become big and strong. So next life they can become big and strong without any endeavor. They'll simply be born as a buffalo or an elephant. Or someone is trying to run fast, Olympic Games. Who can run the fastest? So next life, they can be born as a cheetah, who's the fastest running animal. So without any endeavor, no need to practice. So anyway, we're talking about Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means if someone is not ready, he's not prepared, mentally, whatever, or maybe because of extenuating social circumstances, sometimes we see. Just like I came to this Krishna Consciousness Movement, I was interested. Before I was interested, my best friend at school was interested. I wasn't interested, he was more interested. But he was reading Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita as it is. But then he decided, I can't join this Hare Krishna movement full time, or I'd like to. Because he had, I think, 11 sisters and no brothers. He was the first child. First was a son and about 11 sisters after that. Irishman. And his first sister already had a child, although she was only 14 years old. And his father was a drunkard. So this is the wonderful life in the West that you want to imitate. So he decided, I have to look after my mother and family, because my father, whatever money he earns, at night he goes to the pub. Now this word has entered the Indian languages, pub. You'll see written in Hindi, pub. You can go to the pub and urinate all your money away. In the day you work, and in the evening you pass it out as urine at the pub. So he decided, I can't join, so I'll chant Hare Krishna at home. So there may be many such circumstances. Parents are crippled, or they're invalid, or dead, or some extenuating circumstances by which one feels he cannot fully dedicate himself to the life of Krishna consciousness. Or he may feel that I have so many material desires, I have a strong desire to get married, and there may be so many different things. So in such a circumstance, what should one do? One should not give up the endeavor for spiritual advancement. But he should adjust in his life, he should make some adjustment so that he can become gradually Krishna conscious in whichever circumstances he happens to be in. This is karma yoga. It means everyone has to do some work. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtat tu karma krit. In Gita, Lord Krishna explains in some detail to Arjuna that everyone has to work. You can't stop doing work. There's no question of not working. Everyone has to work. Even for one moment, you cannot stop doing work. Even breathing, that is some kind of activity. Karma, what does karma mean? Karma means work. Karma means activity. Karma means the accrued results of previous work. The word karma has different meanings. So one cannot stop activity. Arjuna was thinking, I do not like the activity of fighting this battle. But Krishna told him, you have to do some work. Everyone has to work. Even I am working. But the difference is that Krishna is not affected by the results of his work. Namang karmani nampanti name karma phale spriha. Nor does Krishna desire the fruits of his work. So this is the difference. Everyone has heard the phrase, at least in India, everyone has heard the phrase, nishkam karma, to work without desire. Now you may say, how can you work without desire? Because why would you work if you have no desire? But the idea is that one should work as a matter of duty, but offer the results to Krishna, not to be attached to the results of the work. But one should offer the results to Krishna, knowing that ultimately the result is given by God. We may endeavor, but ultimately the result is not in our hands. Generally we see that people who are quite expert at some kind of work, they become very proud. This is the usual tendency. Whether it's weightlifting or intellectual exercises, chess, intellectual academic ability, who is good in studies, whatever it may be. If anyone has any ability, if one has a beautiful body, especially we see young girls, if they're good looking, they become very much aware that all the boys are looking at me, and they act in such a way to tease the boys' minds. They become proud. I'm very good looking. So generally one is very good looking. One becomes proud if he is good looking, if he has some mental or physical ability, if he has some money. We see people who are proud. People who have money, they also become proud. That is the general tendency. I remember I spent quite a few years in Bangladesh, and I always used to see those who had little money, how proud they would become. Basically, it's a poor country. It's well known that one American ambassador to Bangladesh, he said that Bangladesh is a basket case. Basket case means you throw rubbish in the basket. So he considered giving foreign aid to Bangladesh is just whatever money you put in, it's just like throwing money away, because any money you put in, no benefit will come. So there's very few motor cars, especially at that time. Whatever motor cars were there, they were mostly all reconditioned Japanese cars. It means the motor cars which the Japanese rejected as scrap, they were taken to Bangladesh and given a new coat of paint, and the engine was rewound. And then you'll find the man who's driving the car, which in any other country, if anyone saw them driving such a car, they would laugh at him. And they're driving. I have a car. So proud. So this is all foolishness. Or even one has a lot of money, he becomes very proud. But what is that? A lot of money you have, and next life, nothing. So one should consider these points. That whatever ability I have, whether it's money, good looks, birth in a nice family, good brain, whatever it may be, strong body, this is a gift of God. So, whatever ability I have, that should be offered to God. It should not be used for my own personal aggrandizement. Generally, if people have abilities, they want to use it to exploit others. Especially the modern society is set up on a very competitive basis, as you know, as you go for your exams. Unless I get a good grade, I won't be able to get a job. But nowadays, even if you get a job, it's not fixed. You have to be sharp, competitive, get ahead of others. Get ahead of others means you have to be better at cheating others. Then you can get ahead. Get ahead means, what does get ahead mean? Get ahead means get an ulcer, get a headache, get a bigger job, better job, get a heart attack, be successful. So this competitiveness, let me outdo others, this spirit is not encouraged in Gita because it is based on a false concept of love, Hare Krishna. Let me be better than others. This is our material disease, thinking that I shall be better than others. But how can we be better? We are very tiny living beings. Let us rather see who is the best and praise him. Who is the best? Krishna is the best. Whatever ability we have comes from him, and that ability, whatever we have, may be taken away at any time. We don't consider. Just like, I think this was about 2 years ago, one morning I got up in the morning and I couldn't move this arm at all, maybe this much. It was completely stiff and painful due to cold. So I couldn't even take my with a lot of difficulty I managed to take my shirt off and take a bath, which was another mistake, because it became worse. So I couldn't move it. So all the time I'm taking for granted, I can move my arm, I can pick up the food to eat it. I'm just taking, I don't consider, we don't think. I want to pick this up, I don't think. I want to move here. But any time that ability can be taken away. Or sometimes it happens to me that sometimes I wake up, I can't talk. I can only talk like this. I have some defect in the throat. So, we're taking for granted that I can shout, speak. Then, if you can't speak, it's gone. The ability may just go like this. One morning I woke up, I couldn't open my eyes due to this mucus in the eye. I didn't know what was happening. It was only some mucus had come. You know this? Sometimes that comes in the cold weather. So I eventually was able to pull it like that. But I thought maybe I'd become blind or something. So we take for granted. We take for granted that I can see, I can talk, I can walk, I can digest my food, big plate of food. Let me eat. But then if your ability to digest goes, you'll eat nice food and then you'll get dysentery. That's all. So all these things we take for granted. You see, there may be a very beautiful girl. Then, accident, not beautiful anymore. Now the boys are no longer looking at her because the face is off. Sometimes they do that out of envy in India. Beautiful girl, acid, throw in the face, no more beautiful. Out of envy, they do it. So, 1 second, she is very beautiful, next second, not beautiful. So, we should consider that whatever abilities we have, it's given by God, that should be offered in the service of God. That is karma yoga. Whatever we're doing, we should do in the service of God. Now we may think, well, I'm a student, or I'm a businessman, or I'm an office worker, or a factory worker, or a farmer. How can I offer to God? What shall I do offering to God? So the idea is that there are two things. One thing is, the result of our work should be offered to Krishna. Another thing is that we should cultivate this process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, directly remembering Krishna, chanting about Him. We should cultivate this process. We should make Krishna the center of our life, because actually Krishna is the center of our life. We may think, due to Maya, that I'm doing everything by myself, but actually Krishna is the center of everything. And our real life is in relationship with Krishna. Due to Maya, we are thinking, I'm Gujarati, I'm a student, or I'm American, and I'm a businessman. And next life, we may be, now I'm a dog, this is my home. In every life we get in this material world, we identify with the body which we happen to be in. But actually the center of our existence, the center of all existence, is Krishna. And the human life is especially meant for understanding Krishna, by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So whatever we're doing, whether we're a student, or a businessman, or unemployed, or whatever it may be, we should remember that this human life is meant for understanding Krishna. Therefore, life should be organized in such a way that we're not simply working hard, day and night, only for getting roti, roti kapra makan. This is considered. If you can get this, then your life is perfect. But we should consider, even the dogs and cats in their own way have roti, kapra, makam. They don't need kapra. And roti, they may eat roti, or they may eat whatever they eat. They eat something. And makam, they're living somewhere. For them, makam may be sleeping on the street. But somehow or other, they're surviving without a PhD. They're going on with their life. So our life should not be simply centered on physical necessities, but our life should actually be centered on our spiritual necessity. Because in every life, Vishaya Kalo Sarvata Syat, in every life, the needs of this body is fulfilled. The needs of the senses are fulfilled by the grace of God. You see, now you're all going for studies, which is quite normal, acceptable. But you see that even those who don't go for studies, they also eat. Here in Vidyanagar, if you go down this way more, you'll find the people who are keeping cows. And they live in some kind of residence. You or I, we would not feel very happy living in such a residence. But they're happy. They're living like that. They don't have any education. I don't think any of them, maybe the most educated among them, might be able to sign his name. Maybe. Probably not. And you find the people are coming from the villages, they're doing labor, construction work. They can't write their name any such thing. But anyway, they're living somehow or other. So, we shouldn't think that the goal of life is simply to pass degree and we can live comfortably. Because everyone is living comfortably, uncomfortably. These people, for them, this is comfortable. They consider it's quite comfortable. They're quite satisfied in that condition. So we should understand that this human form of life, whether I live comfortably, uncomfortably, the goal of life, the center of life, should be spiritual understanding, because only in the human form of life is it possible to cultivate spiritual knowledge. In the dog body, it's not possible. If we call, there are so many dogs here in Vidyanagar, at night, they have a party. Every night. Dogs disco. they have shouting at night. So, there's so many dogs. If we call them for a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, they won't come. If we have distribution of bones, they'll come. But if we have a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, the dogs, they won't come. It's human being, they can come. They can inquire. They can inquire, what is the goal of life? What is the meaning of life? So in this human form of life, we should consider, I'm not going to be in this human body very long. So how should I use it? What should I do? All right, work is there. I'll get a job, maybe. So all right, that should be there. But we shouldn't think that this is the all in all. Getting a job is all in all. But our life should be organized in such a way. All right, I have my job. I may have family. All these things are there. But what is my ultimate goal of life? The ultimate goal of life is to understand Krishna. Therefore, the fruit of my work should be offered to Krishna. What does that mean? That means that some of our monetary income, that should be offered to Krishna. Not simply everything I earn, I should give to my wife. I'm giving in charity all my money to my wife. No. The money that comes, we should see. Some should be used for serving Krishna. And some of my time, prana artha yava cha shreya archa nam sada. Prana, our energy, some of our energy should be used for Krishna. It's like this temple is here. Students, they can come, they can ask, is there any seva I can do? Temple is the opportunity for people to come and do seva for purification. So you may ask Sudhir Krishna Prabhu, is there any seva I can do? And he'll tell you, yes, you can clean the floor. So you may think, well, I'm a student, I don't clean floors. You may not clean floors. But for Krishna, you should clean the floor. Humble position. Maharaj Angarish, he was the king of the whole planet. What did he do? He used to clean the floor for Krishna. So this is very good, to do some humble service for Krishna. Karo hare mandira marjana dishu, this is described. Ambarish Maharaj, with his hands, he used to mandir marjana, he used to clean the floor of the temple. He used to clean all the temple. So, prana, artha, by our money, if we have some money, we should offer to Krishna. Because in the service of Krishna, money is also needed. That is required. Of course, Krishna, he owns everything. But he gives some service to his devotees. You offer some money for my service. So some money should be. And dhyā, our intelligence should be used for Krishna. Intelligence is not simply meant for passing degrees in the college, but we should use our intelligence to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna at the end that anyone who studies this Bhagavad Gita, this conversation between us, he worships me by his intelligence. So we should apply our intelligence also. Spiritual life is not simply sentiment, not simply chanting. And you may think this chanting is for less intelligent people. No. Prahlad Maharaj says, Tan manye dhitam uttamam. This is the topmost learning. So we should understand why. What is, so much philosophy is there. It's not simply sentiment. So many books of philosophy are there. Very deep philosophy. Nowadays, we don't find people with so much brain even to discuss these things. Previously, in every village in India, there would be daily discussion. Pundits. What is the tattva? What is the tattva vastu? What is the ultimate object? They would discuss Upanishads, Puranas, Bhagavad Gita. Nowadays, what do they discuss? TV, politics, nothing, drinking tea. There's no intellectual life left, practically. Intellectual life in India now means simply study, get a degree. That's all. But what is the food for the mind? Previously, every village in this country, people were coming from China. what was that, in the 14th century, he was coming and writing about the wonderful culture in India, how every village you will go, you will find learned discussion. And now, learning what someone is considered a pundit, he can remember the cricket score. What is the batting average of so-and-so, fool number one, expert in hitting a ball with a piece of wood. Great hero. Great hero. So, dhyā, our intelligence, try to understand this philosophy. We have so many books of knowledge, you can see. You can take some books free, we're going to give tonight. Others you can purchase also. Try to use your good intelligence to understand, who am I, who is God, what is the purpose of life. This is also karma yoga, activity of the mind. That may also be, of course, you may say that's jnana yoga, but it's one kind of karma also. Dhyā, vācha, and speaking. Speaking, speaking, speaking. We're always talking, day and night, blabbering on some nonsense thing. So better speak about Krishna. Better to speak about Krishna. Discuss. Oh, and you'll have to have some subject matter. You'll have to read. You'll have to read something. What is in the book, Krishna? What is Krishna doing? Oh, discuss. You can discuss philosophy with your friends. Why not? Why simply discuss light subject matters of no import? Why not discuss something of... So all these things, pran, art, dhyā, vācha, they should be engaged in this shreya acharanam sadā. One should engage these for the ultimate benefit of life. For the ultimate benefit of life, we should see how to all our activities should be centered on Krishna. So two things. One thing is, the results of our work should be offered to Krishna. Another thing is that some practical activities, sadhana, that should be there. Everyone should have some sadhana. Previously, I was discussing with our friend, Mr. Upadhyay. Where is he?
Yes.
There he is, this morning. How even 20 years ago, I came to India, but let me see. First of all, I came 20 years ago to this country. So that time, when I was traveling in the villages, even the small towns of India, even the big towns, everybody used to rise early in the morning. He was remembering from his village also, in his childhood. Everyone used to rise by 5 o'clock latest. Some people 4 o'clock. Rise early, take bath, and they would do puja, paath, jap. Nowadays everyone takes rest. They watch TV 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night, all rubbish. And get up late, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, if they have no other work. They think, Sunday, very good, I can enjoy. How they'll enjoy? By sleeping till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I know, because we go with our Prabhat Ferry, Sunday morning, selling our books. So we knock on the door. Someone opens the door, 10 o'clock in the morning. Just got up. So this is enjoyment. See, what a useless civilization. That enjoyment means sleeping. Nothing better to do than sleep. Then you cut your throat. You have no activity. You have no ruchi, no feeling for life. If you take enjoyment means I will sit until 3 o'clock in the morning watching videos. And then I'll sleep till 12 o'clock the next morning. What life is this? This is advancement. This is not life. This is death. Sitting in front of TV like a sabji, that means death. You have no activity of your body, and your mind also no activity, just rubbish. And then sleep. Oh, very good. Weekend. Very nice. I can sleep. So this is useless. Lifeless. This is living death. Real life means to know who I am, what is the purpose of life, who is God, what is our relationship with Him, and act in that relationship. That is karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. There are many things to do in Krishna consciousness. It's not simply sitting in the temple ringing a bell. There are many things to do. Actually, if you like to take up Krishna consciousness more seriously, you'll find there are many activities. Especially, this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for preaching Krishna bhakti. Preaching Krishna bhakti means to fight against all the wrong ideas. Practically, everyone has a wrong idea. Wrong idea, first wrong idea, everyone is thinking, I am this body. I should enjoy life by sense gratification. Eating, sleeping, sex. This is life, this is enjoyment. So that's the first wrong idea. And from that come so many wrong ideas. There is no God, this is a wrong idea. Now I'm giving a list of wrong ideas. There is no God, God is dead, everyone is God, I am God. Some bogus guy, they've made him God. These are all wrong ideas. Science will solve all the problems of the world. This is another big joke. Wrong idea. It would be a joke if people didn't take it so seriously. By science, we have proved that there is no God. And how you can prove? It's not within the scope of science. So many wrong ideas are there. So many wrong ideas. And they're propagated with vigor by people who are very anxious to send others to hell. So preaching means to fight. And you have to study this, and give the right idea by logic, by reasoning, by argument. Activities, go town to town, village to village, go throughout the country, go throughout the world, take this message. So many things to do. We have to organize, bring in the youth, build temples, write books, print books, distribute books, hold festivals, hold seminars, distribute prasadam widely. So many activities to do. So, even if you can't dedicate full time, at least as you are coming now, keep on coming. Hear about Krishna. Spiritual life begins with hearing. Hear about Krishna. Engage in Krishna's service. Just try to understand this simple point. Human life is meant for understanding God. Act on that. Whatever situation you may be in. If you act on that, you will find that your life is becoming Krishna-ized, full of the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, life is boring, dull, meaningless, and useless. No goal in life. Simply looking at girls and the girls look at you. That's all. And that's the whole life. And it's total frustration. Total anxiety and frustration. That's all. No happiness. Only there is a fourth.
And simply follow without any brain. Whatever everyone else is doing, I should also do. This is popular, this is fashionable, I should also do. And what is popular and fashionable? Eat meat, drink alcohol, have illicit sex. These are degrading activities by which we become more and more frustrated. And the result of these, actually they're sinful activities, means that our mind cannot find any peace in these activities. And as a result, next life, we have to take birth in a very sinful situation. So the first thing is, we should not become degraded, we should become elevated. Lead a pure life. Pure life doesn't mean that you become useless or like a wimp. Do you know this word wimp? This word wimp was used, they used to use about George Bush. They say he's a wimp. It means like a coward. Like a pansy is another word. I don't know. Means very, no spunk, no juice in you. So then he made this Iraq war just to show he wasn't a wimp. Yes, I'll kill so many people. Just to show. So people think if you take to spiritual life, you become a wimp. Means no substance. You have to show you're a man by smoking a cigarette. I don't know how it shows you're a man. It just shows you're a fool because you burn your money up in poison. You poison yourself. And you have to spend money. You have to show you're a man by riding a motorbike. Make a big noise. And it shows you're very powerful. You're a big man. This is all foolish. It's just like the dogs barking. That's all. Same thing. Who can bark the loudest is the biggest dog. So this doesn't mean that your life has substance. Because you can make a big noise. Or you can smoke a cigarette. Or you can drink alcohol. This doesn't make you. Real substance is to think independently, strongly. Not to follow the masses. Not simply just to follow blindly. But to, if you can say, I should think for myself. What is the purpose of life? Why? Real strength of character is not drinking or eating meat. Real strength of character is to say no. I don't want to do this. Why should I do it? Just because the advertisements recommend I should do it. Because India Today says you should eat meat and drink wine. No, I think that is strength of character. To have your own ideals, to live by them. That is real manliness, to live by the proper ideal. So, it's not that by becoming a devotee of Krishna, you become devoid of substance. Rather, you become strong-minded. You become strong-minded, you can say no. Someone gives you a drink, what's this beer? No, I don't want it. Oh, you don't want it? You want beer? Come on, what are you? No, I don't want it. Oh, you're just a fool. No, you're a fool. You're a fool because this is not good for you. You become a drunkard and you lose all sense. Like I was saying, my friend's father, there are so many in the Western countries, alcoholics. Simply working all day, whatever money he gets, he lost his ability to control. Smoking also means you can't control. Not that you're smoking by choice, but you're forced. Oh, I have to have a cigarette. I have to. I used to see my friends at school. They'd come out of the class. Oh, so glad to get out of the class. Now I can smoke a cigarette. Means they don't have the strength of mind to control their own body. So real strength of character is to say no. You may laugh, but you'll see. After 10 years, I will be laughing at you. Because you're an alcoholic. You can't control. All your money is gone. Your character is gone. Your job, you can't even keep a job. Because you're controlled by this drinking habit. So real strength of character is to know what is your goal of life. To stick to your principles. To have higher principles. To live by them. Therefore we're recommending, act in such a way that you will be elevated. You just consider, we are giving, here it is, karma yoga, Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna. We're not saying you accept it blindly. You won't accept it blindly anyway, because you're all students, and you're not just, if I go in the villages, the people, of course that's not a bad thing, they're pious people. If we go, we tell them chant Hare Krishna, automatically they'll chant. So that's their good fortune, that when we ask them to chant Hare Krishna, they don't give us 300 questions, why I should chant Hare Krishna. Immediately they chant. But if you have 300 questions, that's also, in another way, that's good also. If you have so much intelligence, why should I chant Hare Krishna? And I give a reply again, why? We can give the answers also. We don't ask you simply blindly follow. But there are questions? All right, let us discuss. Why do you say this? All right, we'll discuss. By reasoning, logic, cause and effect, we can discuss. And we are convinced, because we have become convinced ourselves by the same process. We didn't come to this Krishna consciousness just by chance or sentiment, but by the same process. You're convinced philosophically. So we are convinced that if you are actually sincere and intelligent, and you apply your intelligence and reasoning to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you will also be convinced. But there is no better way than this. If we are to understand God, ultimately we must come to understand Krishna. We say God, that is a vague word. If we say Krishna, that is the complete definition of the word God. And what is our relationship with Him? He is Prabhu, we are Das. How should we act in that relationship? We should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you can do it. Or you can go through so many questions, and at the conclusion, you'll do it anyway. So we invite you, please chant Hare Krishna, and study also. Study this. Tannanye adhitam uttamam. This is the topmost subject of study. Try to understand with your intelligence. God has given you intelligence. So even this one book, if you study your whole life, read it 100 times, cover to cover, you will find all the answers to all questions are satisfied. Simply in this one, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Please.
I'm a student, so as a student, how should I offer the dozens of my activities to Lord Krishna?
Yes. As a student, you have a long-term goal. What you're doing is not immediate term. The man who's working in the field, he sees his crop growing. And he thinks, at least traditionally they used to do, that a portion I will offer to the Lord. So for him it's very straightforward and clear. In student life, offering the result may not be so clear. But you can keep the general goal in mind that I'm doing this learning so that I will get a job. So my goal of life should be to satisfy Krishna. So in future, I'll get a job, and certainly I will offer some of the results, namely money, or it may be also some kind of expertise, just like, for instance, if one is an architect, he can help, he can offer his services voluntarily, like this. Practical things you can do, also I suggested, that one thing is the long-term goal in mind. Another thing, practical thing, that you come to the temple and do some seva. You can do something, maybe sweeping the floor, something like that. You can find some service for everyone to do. And the other thing I was saying, to some practical activities of sadhana. You can take japa mala, chant Hare Krishna mantra. Are you doing that? Uh-huh. So you can do that, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra daily basis. This one book we have called Message of Godhead, Jai Radha Guru. This one book, Message of Godhead, if you read that, that gives very practical directions how everyone can act as a karma yogi. I suggest you, those who are interested in karma yoga, this is explicitly discussed in this book, Message of Godhead. You should try to get that book. Yes, any other question? So if there's no other question, then we should go from theory to practical. Just like in the science courses, there's theory and there's practical. So practical is chanting Hare Krishna. So please chant Hare Krishna with us. Sankirtan means I'll chant and you please join in. Karta. Then after that there will be distribution of prasad, which is another way you can serve Krishna by taking Krishna's prasad.